We've seen a lot of fires recently in California. Is it possible that some of the policies put into place are not helping California fight the fires as effectively as they could be? We're going to talk about that right now with Jarrett Stepman, and maybe I'm even understating the case. He has written an article for DailySignal.com. That's a Heritage Foundation publication dealing with this issue. In fact, it's called this: Environmentalist Policies Are Exacerbating Wildfires. It's time to rethink forest management. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Jarrett, we welcome you back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Sure. Okay, this is hard to even get our minds around. When you wrote this article, it was back in October, and it seems to me that there's even been worse fires since then. You were actually talking about Northern California, but now there have been several fires in Southern California. Why is it that these fires seem to be so out of control, and is there honestly a link between environmental policy? So go ahead and wax eloquent on this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not people's imagination that these fires seem to be getting larger and larger. And as a native California, it makes me very sad to see so much of the state being burned up. This is something that's been happening to places, especially in the western states, that have been hit even in the last year by some of the most horrendous fires. There's been a clear trend really since the 1970s, not in the total number of fires, but in the size of some of these blazes that have gotten out of control, that have gotten so huge, and they devastate not just a huge amount of property, but also, of course, the lives of the people. The Northern California fire claimed the lives of 50 people. So these fires have been raging out of control, and I think that's something that's kind of been missed in this. Some people say, well, maybe this is because of global warming, maybe this is coincidence, but there's really been a dramatic change in how we approach forest management that's been going on over the last half century that has exacerbated some of these problems. We used to do a lot more clearing of the forest, a lot more actual forest management, some traditional practices to keep the forest under control so
explain
that we don't have to battle these huge blazes.
Okay, explain such a thing as clearing the forest. What does that mean? Actually setting aside certain acres and say, oh, we're going to go ahead and burn these so that no fire will get out of control, and eventually it'll reach this spot and then it'll stop. Is that what you mean, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. They would clear certain parts of the forest, so some of the underbrush, some of the dead trees. We've let a lot of our forests really pile up, unfortunately, with this undergrowth. And this is something that, in particular, there was a fire in Utah this last year at Bryan Head that burned about 13 homes and almost 100 square miles, where local residents were complaining that the federal government had left the land unclear, that there was a lot of brush, there was a lot of dead foliage, there were a lot of dead trees, and that the locals were complaining that this is going to cause a problem. Of course, a large fire broke out and caused a lot of devastation. In fact, it was the worst fire pretty much in Utah's history. So this has become a more common occurrence, and you know, we see this problem in the shift in how we've budgeted. The Forest Service has budgeted, where in the past we would budget a lot of the money would go to forest fire prevention. Now it goes to putting out the fires themselves, and this is really bleeding out into kind of the general fund. There's a call to, of course, increase the amount of funding for fighting fires, which, of course, has been a huge drag on this year. So this is a huge policy, not just for the people in the areas that are affected, but also for federal policy, because it is affecting how much we're paying out as a country to try to stop these horrible blazes.
Okay, help me to understand this. Obviously, an environmentalist would not view a fire as a positive thing. I mean, the fire would be absolutely devastating to an environmentalist, right? So why, therefore, wouldn't they allow the people, you know, the forest management people, to engage in common sense forestry practices that may involve, you know, like I say, clearing away the underbrush, even though if that might kill this little, you know, animal or that little animal? At the end of the day, these fires can't be very good for any of those animals, much less a human animal, if we can call them animals.
Absolutely, and that's even for those who believe that the anthropogenic global warming, human caused global warming, is a major problem that needs to be addressed. I'd say these big blazes are some of the worst contributors to that, if that is the case, having these giant towering infernos. And unfortunately, a lot of the policies have these very, very extensive environmental impact reports that are necessary to do any kind of clearing the forest, which of course prevents any from taking place. So a lot of these forests are left essentially wild, are essentially left uncontrolled. And then we get these huge infernos, and a lot of this is because of the laws that are on the books that, you know, may have been intended to do something good for the environment, which are actually having the opposite consequence, which is these huge blazes, huge costs on budgets, a huge amount of damage to human beings and animals alike, and a lot of terrible things are being created out of what was maybe once good intentions. Now has become a nightmare, and it's certainly a nightmare for a lot of people in these affected areas where, you know, you've had such extensive damage because the blazes are so big that many areas can't recover for a generation after these blazes come through.
Yeah. By the way, I should say, as far as, you know, the idea of man as an animal, I should say that I believe, and this station certainly believes, we are made in the image of God, and therefore man is different as a creation than animals. But these fires are bad for everybody and every creature in the ecosystem. There's a congressman, Tom McClintock, out of California, who's a Republican, and you quote him in your article, and some of his quotes are really strong. Here he says, for example, the laws of the past 45 years have not only failed to protect the forest environment, they have done immeasurable harm to our forests. And he said that essentially these laws have made, quote unquote, the management of our forests all but impossible. So again, what does this mean? That I understand that private land, when it's, you know, using some of these common sense practices of old times, does better in, you know, when it comes to the threats of fires than do these public lands.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where it's a good thing is to now to start to address and rethink some of our policies. Unfortunately, the West is in particular a location where these things are a problem because the government, federal government, owns much of the land out there. Sometimes over half the land in certain states is owned by the federal government. Of course, the federal government manages this land as well, and a lot of it is poorly done. There have been a lot of suggestions as far as how this can be turned around, how this has been changed. There are certainly calls in Congress to give more local authority to forest management. There's even been some, I think, more novel and interesting ideas. One professor has actually said that maybe we should think about things like having charter forests, where essentially local authorities delegate to a private company to essentially manage the forest on their behalf, with some local and state oversight, and do a better job of maintaining these forests in many ways how we used to maintain the forests, how they used to be better kept. So there are definitely some big ideas out there that would immensely help this problem that has gotten out of control, that would allow us to manage these fires in a more responsible way, that wouldn't do so much damage to property owners, wouldn't do so much damage to human lives. I mean, there's just nothing worse than, you know, thinking a big forest fire or a blaze is coming your way, that you could lose all of your property, your possessions, all your memories. It's a terrible thing that, you know, we really need to start doing a better job of preventing.
Yeah, and it's so funny, too, because I know of a relative, actually, who has bought into the global warming stuff, and he's blaming Trump for these fires. And it's like, wait a minute now, these fires were happening long before Trump. And but this McClintock that I quoted, the congressman that you quote in your article, he blamed as one of the problems the Endangered Species Act from the 1970s. Tell us about that.
Absolutely, and this is what is preventing a lot of this local management, and why it is so hard to do even the most basic maintenance of local areas. If some endangered species or some kind of animal is considered threatened, it may not at all be threatened, but because the review process is so onerous, a lot of times nothing is done about a problem that is generally recognized to be there. So what we have is essentially a fearfulness to even try to engage in any kind of land management because the laws are so strict as far as what can be done. And, you know, of course, as we discussed earlier, you know, once a big forest blaze comes through, I mean, everything's going to be affected. It's going to damage the animals. It's going to damage the people. So I have to say, it really is short-sighted to have these policies be so strict and do so much damage to the local populations. It really is. I have to say, you know, we have a lot of evidence over the last half century of how this has gotten worse and how this has caused so much damage. I think it really is time to take a second look and go back and say, we need to do a better job because this problem is out of control.
Isn't that interesting? You quote a Reason Foundation study, which actually noted that the U.S. Forest Service, which is tasked with managing public wildland, once had success in minimizing widespread fires in the early 20th century, but many of these successful methods were abandoned in large part because of efforts by environmentalist activists. Okay, we've already discussed some of the onerous regulations related to trying to protect those endangered species. Of course, those fires don't help those endangered species, as we've already pointed out. You've already pointed out about the, you know, clearing away that underbrush. We've already discussed the possibility of, you know, having managed fires here and there so that, you know, the fires will stop. Is there anything else that needs to be covered here that we haven't mentioned in this program about these fires?
Well, I think just you know, what kind of measures can be taken. I mean, there has been definitely legislation proposed in Congress to address this issue, to finally address it, to start doing things like giving local management, which I think a lot of this is about. It's not.
Yeah.
It's a combination of certainly ideologically environmentalist policies, but also just the problem of the federal government, of course, being distant from these affected areas and doing a bad job being stewards of the land that they are put in charge of. I think if we shifted more of our policies toward local management, whether, you know, public in many cases or even, you know, semi-private, I think that in itself, I think people will be better stewards of their own backyard than somebody else's backyard 3,000 miles away. And I think that needs to be a big push, and it certainly has. There have been a number of congressmen, especially from the West, who've been making these calls for years. I think now the examples of what we had in California, the Northern and Southern California fires, are such dramatic examples of how things have gone wrong. You know, it's something that we really can't wait on, especially when the next fire season rolls around. You know, how bad is this going to be? How many other states are going to be burned up because of this? You know, there are terrible consequences for not acting.
Oh, boy, you're so right. Now, I don't want to be politically incorrect here, but it's my understanding that in the example of the northern fires, the fires in Northern California in the last few months, there was an illegal immigrant who was pointed as having started the fires in the north. And then in the meantime, in the fires in the south that also did, you know, just absolute devastation. Apparently, it was a fire that began in a homeless camp. And there's a lot of homelessness, I guess, in California, both in the Los Angeles area and certainly in the San Francisco area. And this could be, you know, another factor that exacerbates some of this. Because they can't have the same kind of regulations, you know. That would even true, by the way, that applies to sanitation, just basic sanitation, you know, with a homeless population. It's a tragedy.
Absolutely. And when you have a breakdown, essentially, of law and order, and you combine that with very poor management of the resources available, I think you get these kind of toxic situations where, again, you know, something that may have even been, at one point, a small incident or a small fire turns into something much larger, and we have these terrible blazes that do so much destruction. I mean, I don't think we should come to the conclusion that we can prevent all fires. I mean, after all, it's the natural part of the world. Fire is a part of, you know, what this world's about, and in some cases can certainly be a good thing for and healthy for forests. But we shouldn't be accepting of what has happened in large parts of the West and large parts of this country, which is letting these blazes get to such a point that it does incredible damage, that it costs us a lot of money, and it does so much damage to human lives. I think, you know, just accepting that as reality is something that we don't have to do, and we can address this and make it more cost efficient and make it better for the people living in this country.
Excellent points. Jarrett Stepman, thank you so much for joining us. DailySignal.com for more information. All the best, Jarrett. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.